ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening. So this morning we're going to do text 44 through 46, because 44 and 45 are done together and there's no purport. So I'll just read 44 and 45, and then we'll go to chant this one. Yeah, this one, let's get the Sanskrit. Are we using this or this just?
Because in the kitchen.
Well, in the, okay,
in the kitchen, they want to hear in the lecture.
Okay, well, let's put it over here then. Mm-hmm. So now, you remember what's happened is that, so I don't want to do this, this goes down. Was it technically challenged around here?
Up den Schwanz hier? Screwdriver? Little thing?
Alright, we'll do the best we can. That's alright. So first, Kashyapa gave Diti the bad news. You're going to, sons in your womb are a pair of demons, and they're going to make everybody unhappy, terrorize the world, but they'll be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she says, oh, I'm very happy that they're going to be killed by the Lord, that's good. I was afraid because they would make the Brahmins unhappy, the saintly person's unhappy that they would be killed by Brahmins. That would be much worse for them. They'll be killed by the Lord, they'll be saved. So that was the bad news about her sons. Now he's going to tell her the good news. And he goes like this. The learned Kasyapa said, because of your lamentation, penitence, and proper deliberation, and also because of your unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and your adoration for Lord Shiva and me, one of the sons, Prahlad, of your son, that is Hiranyakashipu, will be an approved devotee of the Lord, and his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the Personality of Godhead. So he says to her, because of these things, you're a Kritashoka, because you lamented, in other words, you felt sorry, you did something wrong, and now you've repented and said, oh, you're very sorry about what you did wrong, and you performed some penitence, that is something to make up for this. Sometimes when you do something sinful, you have to repent and then do something to atone. The priest will say, you know, you chant, you know, five Hail Marys or something on the beads, some penitence. And also, because you've thought about this carefully, proper deliberation, and because you have, for Bhagavati, for the Lord, and for Bhava, for Lord Shiva, and also for me, you have this Uru Mana, great respect. Mana means to give somebody honor or respect, so Uru Mana, great respect. And so therefore, for these reasons, he says, now, one of the sons of your sons will be Satam Mataha, He uses the word satam matahai, will be approved by their devotees. Satam is a devotee, satam. So they will like him. His glories will be broadcast equally with that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both of them will be their yashaha, fame. They'll be both famous together, the same. And that's true. Whenever we hear about Nrisimhadeva, we hear about Prahlad, and we think of Prahlad, we think of Nrisimha. So they're always together. So that's what he says. Okay, so now we go on to this text. Kashyapa is continuing to speak. So text 46. Yogair. Heneva. Durvanam. Bhavishyanti. Sadavaha. Nirvayaradibir. Atmanam. Yachchilam. Anuvartitum. Yogair himeva durvarnam. Bhavavyashyanti sadavaha. I said that wrong. That's okay. Nirvayaradhi biratmanam. Yachchilam anuvartitum. Yogair himeva durvarnam. Bhavayishyanti sadavaha. Nirvayaradibir atmanam. Yachchilam anuvartitum. Yogair himeva durvarnam. Bhavayishyanti sadavaha. Nirvayaradibir atmanam. Yachchilam anuvartitum. Yogair himeva durvarnam. Bhavayishyanti sadavaha. Nirvairadibir atmanam. Yachchilam anuvartitum. Yogair himeva durvarnam. Bhavayishyanti sadavaha. Nirvairadibiratmanam. Yachchilam anuvartitum. What else? Ladies?
I lost that
contact. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. Yogai. By the rectifying process. Rectifying means process of making correct or improving. Rectify. Hema. Gold. Eva. Like. Durvarnam. Inferior quality. Bhavayishyanti. Will purify. Sadavaha. Saintly persons. Nirvaira adibihi. By practice of freedom. From animosity means being angry toward other people. having an angry attitude toward everybody, his animosity, and so on. Atmanam,
Atmanam,
the self,
the self.
Yet,
yet,
whose,
whose,
shilam,
shilam,
character,
character,
anuvartitam,
anuvartitam,
to follow in the footsteps,
to follow in the footsteps.
Translation: in order to follow in in order to follow in his footsteps, that is her grandson, saintly persons will try to emulate his character. Emulate means you behave like he does. Emulate means some person you respect and admire, you try to be like them. That's emulate him. Saintly persons will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity, just as the purifying processes rectify gold of inferior quality. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Yoga practice, the process of purifying one's existential identity, is based mainly on self-control. Without self-control, one cannot practice freedom from animosity. In the conditional state, every living being is envious of another living being, but in the liberated state, there is absence of animosity. Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by his father in so many ways, yet after the death of his father, he prayed for his father's liberation by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did not ask any benediction that he might have asked, but he prayed that his atheistic father might be liberated. He never cursed any of the persons who engaged in torturing him at the instigation of his father. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschachade Shatarani Om Angyanam Timaranda Shaganamjana Shilakaya Chaksurunmiritam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpatrubhyaschakripa Sindubhya eva cha patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So he's approved by the devotees of the Lord, his grandson that will come. Remember, the son is specifically condemned by devotees. So the grandson, just the opposite. Devotees have approved so much that they actually will use him as an example and will follow in his footsteps. Because, so here the example is given how by yoga. Yoga means, in one sense, a standard method of doing something. One of the many meanings of the word yoga, but it means any standard process. So there's also a process by which hema, gold, the duravarnam, the impurities, are removed. So sometimes gold comes and it's in the gold metal, there are other things in there. And so you put it together with other things and heat it up, and you know, the impurities go away, so the gold becomes pure. Right? This is a refining process. It's called refining the metal. You take out all the impurities. So sometimes when you get gold, it's mixed up with, there's iron and other metals in there. So they separate it out. Sometimes gold and silver together, and they separate those two. And so like a process like that, So similarly, saintly persons, sadhavas, is the plural of sadhus, so those who are sadhus, they will try to purify themselves in the same way by following or emulating the character of Prahlad, because he was so pure. Specifically because the mentions the different bad qualities is vaira. Vaira means anger toward others, hostility, violence, tendency to commit violence on others. Vaira, so near vaira. You're completely free from any angry tendencies, any animosity, any envy of other people. This is particularly the quality of Prahlad. So he sets the example for all these saintly persons. So this is particularly his character of Prahlad, so that he becomes so famous. In the seventh canto, there's also a nice description of Prahlad's qualities. So I pulled it up here for you from my computer. When Hiranyakashipu started to create trouble in the universe, the demigods went to see the Lord. And he said to them, "Don't worry, I know what Hiranyakashipu is up to, and pretty soon I'll put an end to him. So please wait until the proper time." Then the Lord says, when your Hiranyakashipu torments or tortures the great devotee Prahlad, his own son, who's peaceful and sober and who has no enemies, I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions of Brahma. So then Narada Muni, who's telling this story to Maharaj Yudhisthira, so Narada Muni says, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master of everyone, thus reassured all the demigods living in the heavenly planets, they offered their respectful obeisance unto him and returned, certain that the demon Hiranyakashipu was now practically dead. He doesn't know it yet, but he's dead. So then Narada Muni continues, Hiranyakashipu had four wonderful, well-qualified sons. The one named Prahlad was the best. So I actually had four good sons. I don't know who the others were, but Prahlad was the best of them. Indeed, Prahlad was a reservoir. You know, a reservoir, like a big lake or something. You keep water, you store water in big lakes, artificial lakes called a reservoir. Prahlad was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities because he was unalloyed devotee of the personality of Godhead. And then he describes some of his qualities, Narada Muni says. He was completely cultured as a qualified brahmana. You know this word, brahmanya. It's like he is brahmanya. Shila sampanaha, He possessed all good qualities. This word Shila means, you know, very good character. Again, very good qualities. Possessed all good qualities. Good character. And determined to understand the absolute truth. In Sanskrit, this is satya sandaha. Satya means what he was going to own. Determined to understand satya, the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and mind, jitta indriya. He had conquered his senses. They were under his control. So especially, and the mind also is considered sometimes a sense. So especially the mind, one of the qualities, bad qualities of the mind is anger. So he simply did not become angry at anyone, even when he had every reason to be angry. Actually, one of the qualities that a devotee is supposed to develop is called kshanti. Kshanti, which Prabhupada calls tolerance or forbearance. But what kshanti means is not becoming disturbed, even when everything is disturbing. It's easy to be peaceful when everything is peaceful, but when somebody is disturbing, or their disturbing conditions, still you're calm, then that's a good quality, kshanti. So also here, when the senses are controlled, then the mind is controlled, then you can control anger, lust, greed, anger, and so on, the gates leading to hell. So this is jitindriya, fully control the mind and the senses. And then it says that he was atmavat sarvabhutanam eka priya and surit tamaha. It means he was the friend or kind to every living entity like the supersoul. Supersoul is suritam sarvabhutanam, is kind to everyone. So Prahlad was just like the supersoul. He was beloved of all living entities and surittama, and their best friend. It's very nice. To respectable persons, that is to say, people who were, you know, like the father and so on, people he should respect, his superiors. He was exactly like Dasavat, like a servant. This is what brahmacharis are all supposed to be, Dasavat. So he was like that. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older God brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is describing his character. Kind to the poor, like a brother to his equals, and very affectionate to the gurus. As here in the text it says, unto gurushu, unto the gurus, who are Ishvara Bhavanaha, who are exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Prabhupada translates this, when it says gurus, he says teachers, spiritual masters, and older god brothers. So Prabhupada spells out what the meaning of this gurus, anyone who is your teacher, like that. He was very affectionate to them, Snigdha. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. So had all these good things, because he was actually the son of a king, right? He's a prince. So because of that vidya, he had education. Artha, he had riches. Rupa, he was very good looking, beauty. Janma, he had his noble birth. But he was completely free from any mana and stamba, pride and being puffed up in any way. So usually it's many times when people have these good things, good birth, good looking, well educated, and lots of money, they're so puffed up, you can't stand them. But Prahlad didn't take these things seriously at all. So then, Narada Muni continues, although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura, but a great devotee of Vishnu. Unlike other asuras, he was never envious of the Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly or indirectly interested in the fruitive activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and life air, and being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. So although he was like an asura by birth, yet he had all these good qualities. Prabhupada says in the purport, you can see, he says, from this verse we discover that a man not qualified or disqualified is simply by birth. Prahlad Maharaj was an asura by birth, yet he possessed all the qualities of a perfect brahmana. Anyone, here it is, he says, as Prabhupada says, anyone can become a fully qualified brahmana under the direction of a spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj provided a vivid example of how to think of the spiritual master and accept his directions calmly. Of course, Narada Muni, who's telling this to Yudhisthira, he was Prahlad Maharaj's spiritual master. So he's describing his own disciple here. Because Narada instructed Prahlad while he was in the womb of his mother. And Prahlad remembered those instructions. Prabhupada also described his Western disciples, compared us to Prahlad Maharaj, because we come from demonic families. So Narada Muni continues, O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by learned saints and Vaishnavas. As all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, They also exist forever in his devotee Prahlad Maharaj. And then Prabhupada points out in the purport that Prahlad Maharaj still lives in Vaikuntha Loka as well as in this material world on the planet Sutala. Sutala is one of the subterranean heavenly planets, you know, Patala, Sutala, those lower, where all the demons live. So Prahlad is on Sutala, and simultaneously he's in Vaikuntha, because Prabhupada said the transcendental quality of existing simultaneously in different places is another qualification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Goloka evena satya kilatma bhuta, the Lord appears in the core of everyone's heart, yet he exists in his own planet, Goloka Vrindavan. A devotee actually acquires almost the qualities, almost the same as those of the Lord, because of unalloyed devotional service. Ordinary living beings cannot be so qualified, but a devotee can be qualified like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not in full, but partially. So Krishna has this opulence that he can be in many places at once. And to some extent, devotees also can be in different places at once. Just like, for example, everyone who's a follower of Chaitanya, who goes back to Godhead, is simultaneously present in Krishna Leela, in Goloka Vrindavan, and Chaitanya Leela in Navadvipa. There's also a Navadvipa in the spiritual sky, where there's Chaitanya Leela is always going on. So a devotee who's a follower of Chaitanya participates in both. Both with Mahaprabhu and his associates. Panchatattva is there, the six Goswamis are there, Srila Prabhupada is there. Because Prabhupada said that we shall have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. So I'm thinking that's what it refers to this. But also, the devotees also engage in Krishna Leela. So here Prahlad is in Vaikuntha, but also in Sutala. He's there. So his good qualities are still being exhibited. Then the Narada continues, in any assembly where there are discourses about saints and devotees, O King Yudhishthira, even the enemies of the demons, that is to say the demigods, what to speak of you, would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a great devotee. Everybody, all the demigods consider him the example. He says, who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudev, Lord Krishna, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, that is, counted in full, they prove that he was a great soul, a Mahatma. Oh, and then here's a nice, really nice thing about Prahlad. In this next verse, from the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. You know, this is all his toys. Being the son of a king, he had lots of toys. But he wasn't interested in these toys. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on, being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Now, what it says here in Sanskrit, when Prabhupada says his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, the Sanskrit is Krishna graha kritit grihitatma. It says that his mind was fully attracted to Krishna, who's described as Krishna graha. You know the word graha? It means in astrology, it's like a planet that causes an influence. Like if you go to astrology, he'll look at your chart and the different planets that affect you, like Saturn, Shani, or Brihaspati, or Jupiter, in control of your behavior, our behavior, they're called graha. So, a devotee like Prahlad, Krishna is his graha. Krishna graha. Krishna, who is like a strong planetary influence. So we have to say that anyone who becomes a devotee, you go to an astrologer, they'll see the different planets in your chart, but there's one they may not see. That planet is Krishna. Krishna graha. Devotees are all, there's a new thing that comes. And so even they're good and bad planets, you know. Those that give good things, they call them in English benefics, and give you benefit, and malefics, things that cause suffering or pain or so on. But if Krishna graha is there, they're all good. They all work. So this is a wonderful description. Krishna graha grihitatma. His mind was absorbed in Krishna, who was like a strong planetary influence, a graha. That's a nice thing about Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna, thus being always embraced by the Lord. He did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking and talking, were being automatically performed. So this is a fact, actually. You may wonder, how can a devotee be completely absorbed in Krishna and still go along in the world? But what happens is Krishna takes charge of the senses and does all those things. So a devotee can be completely absorbed in Krishna, not paying any attention to anything else, but somehow or other he walks, he drives a car, whatever, because Krishna actually takes control. So he won't have to be distracted by anything. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, that is extreme happiness, and sometimes sang loudly. So he was had the symptoms of bhava, the symptoms of ecstasy, like this. Sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation, happiness, and began dancing in ecstasy, and sometimes being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of Krishna. Sometimes, feeling the touch of the Lord's lotus hand, he became spiritually jubilant and remained silent, his hair standing on end and tears gliding down from his half-closed eyes because of his love for God. So described, he was being embraced by the Lord, feeling the Lord's hand. So Prabhupada describes in the purport, he's just like a child in the lap of the mother. You know, it's just the personal presence of the Lord was there for Prahlad, so he was always in relationship with him. Because of his association with perfect unalloyed devotees who have nothing to do with anything material, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet. By seeing his bodily features when he was in perfect ecstasy, persons very poor in spiritual understanding became purified. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj bestowed upon them transcendental bliss. Just by seeing him in ecstasy, they became blissful and became purified. Didn't know why. That's how we... So that's his description there. This is even before now. We hear the story about Prahlad Maharaj. Here in the third canto, already we hear about Prahlad Maharaj, because there'll be some verses going on now giving a little description that Kashyapa Muni is telling Diti about her future grandson. And then here at the beginning of the pastimes of Hiranyakashipu, just at the very beginning, Maharaj Yudhisthira is hearing from Narada Muni about Prahlad Maharaj. This is before we hear the story about what Hiranyakashipu did and how he tortured him and so on. So it's very important. Prahlad Maharaj is for all of us an example of a great devotee. Also, there's a very nice place in the fifth canto where Prahlad Maharaj appears, where the different varshas in Jambudvip, in each of the varshas, the Lord is being worshipped in a particular form, and the inhabitants there are worshipping the Lord under the guidance of a great devotee. So in Hari Varsha, Nrisingadeva is being worshipped, and leading that worship is Prahlad Maharaj. This is described in the fifth canto. And that's where, in each of those places, the Lord is first worshipped by a prayer that's in the style of the Upanishads. As I say, it's not a verse, but it's in prose, because a lot of the Upanishads are in prose. And this is the prayer, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jaste Jase Avir Avir Bhava Vajra Nakra Vajra Damstra Karma Shayandandayarandaya Tamo Krasa Krasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhujishtam Om Shal. That's Prahlad's prayer. And then he goes on, Swastiyastu Vishvasha Kala Prasidatam Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Mitodhya Manasta Bhadram Bhajatadaroksache Aveshtam No Matarapirai Tuki. Again, this is a typical prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. Because he's saying, Swastiyastu Vishvasha, may the whole universe become swasti, auspicious. May the whole universe be auspicious. Kala Pasidatam. And may all people who are envious, antagonistic, full of animosity, hatred toward each other, may they become prasidatam, may they become peaceful. He's asking a benediction also here of Nrisingadeva. Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Nitodhya. And may all living beings learn how to wish each other well. May they have this good feelings toward each other. Dayantu Bhutane Shivam Nitodhya. This is the best prayer for universal peace that there ever was. Then he says, Manastha Bhadram Bhajatadruksajay, and may our own mind become Bhadram, another word for auspicious. The different words for auspicious, Swasti, Shivam, Bhadram. Manastha Bhadram Bhajatad. Arhokshajay Aveshtam No Matarapyarai Tuki. So he's asking for these benedictions. And you see it starts with the universal. May the whole universe become auspicious. Then may all living all the envious become pacified. And then may all living entities learn to care for each other. So he it starts from, and then goes, and then Manastha Bhadra, and may our own minds become peaceful. So it goes from the universal to the particular. And in the word for word, when Prabhupada translates this, you think, Kalaprasidaptam, well, you know, what's the envious doing up there at the top? When Prabhupada translates this, he says, the envious, and then he puts in parentheses, almost everyone. So it goes like that, Manastha Bhadram Bhajatad Roksajay. And then he's saying how all these blessings will come about by our Aveshatam No Matarapyaraituki, by our minds being absorbed in the ecstasy of causeless love for the Supreme Lord. That's how it will happen. So this is the prayer for Prahlad Maharaj. A few years ago, actually it was 2002 in the United States, there was a service being held in the Washington National Cathedral. They have a big church in Washington, D.C., which is the quote-unquote national cathedral. So the United States government was having a memorial service because it was the anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. And in Washington, you know, there's one plane that came into the Pentagon, and a lot of people from Washington died, and of course in New York and so on. So there's the first anniversary. So this is in Washington National Cathedral. It's a Christian church, Episcopalian church. But because the United States doesn't have an established religion, they wanted to have a service in which all religions were participating. And so I ended up going to that as the representative of Hinduism. this is because our god sister of mine, Rukmini, she's married to Anuttama, the minister of communication, She participates in some spiritual dialogue with a women's group at the National Cathedral. And so when they were putting this program together, they were looking for somebody to be the representative for Hinduism. And they wanted a leader. Everybody was supposed to be leaders who would participate in this. And so they asked her if she knew a Hindu leader. And so she called me up and asked me if I would do this. What we had to do was we would one after another get up and we would recite one verse from scripture, and then we would recite later on a little prayer. And so I said I'd be happy to do it. I told Rukmini, I was in Hawaii actually when she called me. I'm supposed to represent Hinduism. Do you think some Hindus might get upset when the representative of Hinduism, you know, is like a white-bodied American? Maybe they'll have a problem with that. So she said, I'll check and I'll get back to you. So she called me back up again. Yeah, it's no problem. But I was very conscious, especially this is Washington, D.C. And I knew that they would be there because it was a state occasion. There would be people from the Indian embassy there. And so I wanted to be very... So I thought of the verse, I thought of this one, Swastiyastu Vishvasya Kalapasidatam Dayantu Bhutane Shivam Mito Diyan. And I did a kind of different translation of it. I mean, I used Prabhupada's translation, I'll find you. Because it was I was speaking on a very formal occasion in a big church, I had to do the English in a slightly different way, you know, to fit the situation. I'll find it for you. Somewhere on my computer I have this, the way I translated it. Yeah, I think right here. Yeah. Yeah, so first of all, all the people who came for this, we were in a little room and putting on robes, and the big guy who was there was this Bishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa. And there are all these other religious leaders, and people were all putting on their different robes and everything in the back room. And even there walked in these different politicians, like one guy was John Ashcroft, who then he was the Attorney General of the United States. He was the guy who was in charge of the Justice Department, the FBI, everything like that. And I found him a scary guy. I mean, his anyway, he came in. So I decided to make sure I shake hands with him, because John Ashcroft was also a fundamentalist Christian. So I thought I definitely should have a Hare Krishna come up. But I was afraid to give him my name. But anyway, then we all went up in this big procession. I mean, it's a huge cathedral, very, very big. And it was full of people. And I could see all the ambassador of the United Nations and like all these people. Politicians were there, and over in the right wing, I could see the Indian embassy people. So I stood up and I told them that I was going to give this prayer, but first I would say it in Sanskrit. Did they mind? They said, no, that's okay. And actually, they printed it in Sanskrit also booklet that came out with this. And so it was wonderful because I was standing up there in the National Cathedral. I was actually the first person to go also for everybody. Yeah. That was in my arrangements, you know. And so, you know, I said, Swastiyastu Vishvasya Kalabhasidatam, you know, the nice Bhagavatam words, you know, in the National Cathedral. And I knew that the Indians, that they're wondering, who is this guy that's representing India? As soon as I said Swasti, because everybody knows. You know, that's like such a Hindu thing, you know, swasti. Every time you give blessings, you say swasti, swasti, swasti. Okay. And then I read it in Sanskrit, and this is how I did the verse. May the entire universe be blessed with peace and hope. Swasti astu vishvasya. Kalapasidatam. Now, I put it in language that's kind of... the kind of language they like. May everyone, driven by envy and enmity, become pacified and reconciled. Then the next one, Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Mitodhya. May all living beings develop abiding concern for the welfare of others. May our own hearts and minds be filled with purity and serenity. Manastabhadram. May all these blessings flow naturally from the supreme benediction. Now that particular line is not in the verse, but it's implied, and Prabhupada has it in his purport, that all these come from the central. May all these blessings flow naturally from the supreme benediction. May our attention become spontaneously absorbed in the rapture of pure love unto the transcendent Lord. So then afterwards, so many people say, oh, what is that prayer? Can I have a copy of that? So this is how, I didn't mention Prahlad Maharaj, but this is his prayer. So he made an appearance in the Washington National Cathedral with his prayer for peace. And people still write me and ask me for copies of it. Devotees take it every time they go to interfaith gatherings. They use this like this, and people like it. Then I had to give a separate time to come up and say, I had to give a little prayer. Again, worried about the Hinduism issue. The prayer I gave begins like this: the Vedas proclaim Ishavashamidam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagat Yam Jagat. So that's what I quote the Vedas, right? So and then there was just a little prayer about the meaning of this for sure, a little prayer, just a few hundred words, and then I end with Hare Krishna. I said that at the end. So. Anyway, this is they're very nice prayers by Prahlad Maharaj, and this particular one, Swasti Astu Vishvasha Kalapasiratam, it particularly exemplifies this characteristic of Prahlad of being everybody's well-wisher. Remember it said he was like the super soul. He was like the super soul of this. And Prabhupada says the devotees should become like the Lord, as representatives of God. Represent means you present all over again. You re-present. So those good qualities should also be there in the devotees. Okay, any questions, comments?
If I understood well, you said when we shall quote to Sutta word, we simultaneously we are two places.
At once, yeah. At least two.
At least or more.
Maybe more.
But the question is we have a Swarupa, so which one is the original?
We have a Swarup in relationship with Krishna. That's the original Swarup. But at the same time, Krishna is also present in another Leela. That Swarup was there in Vrindavan Leela. But there's also everybody who's there, who's a follower of Chaitanya, also has a form as a devotee. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but he is also Bhakta Rupa, with the form of a bhakta. And simultaneously, we know that, for example, there's a Manjari, one of the gopis, called Rati Manjari, like a young 11-year-old girl in Krishna Leela. But also, that Rati Manjari has another form of a devotee, known as Raghunath Das Goswami. So because Chaitanya Leela is also eternal pastimes, these people also have devotee forms. were there serving Lord Chaitanya. So, yeah, so there in the transcendental Navadvipa, they, well, what is it? It's like we do. There's Sankirtan, there's chanting, and there's feasting, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Prabhupada said there'd be another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. There won't be a GBC, of course, but no GBC. Because some of the you know things we don't like about ISKCON, they won't be there. Because all the mischief makers will not be, well, they have to stay here for a while, purified. So yeah, they will be there. So just as Raghunath Das Goswami could simultaneously be a gopi in the spiritual sky and be part of Lord Chaitanya's Leela as a Goswami. So he's there in places. So we also, if we follow followers of Chaitanya, you can also get this particular benediction.
Does it mean, to understand right, that the soul has also the potency to expand itself like Krishna has? Or
yeah, to some extent. The potency is there. If Krishna wants it, yeah, you can do it. Not as much as Krishna can do it. Ordinary people, devotees, can do it by Krishna's desire.
There was a description of Prahlad Maharaj being absorbed in the Lord. He was absorbed always in the form of Narasimha Dev, or he has another worship of the Lord? Because, you know, he was reading, like, Prahlad Maharaj was absorbed in the form of the Lord, Lord was embracing him.
Yeah.
Was he always meditating on the form of Narasimha Dev?
It's interesting. Prabhupada says something about that. Let me see. I think it was Nrisimhadev. Because his Prabhupada says that it's listed that that he was Vasudeva Bhagavati. He was attached to Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says, therefore, when this verse says, Vasudeva Bhagavati, one should understand that Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Nrisimhadev was attachment for Krishna. Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. Well, it's the same. No difference between them. Who told me this? Oh, Bhakti True Swami told me this. That, you know, people worship Ganesh for the removal of obstacles. And even it says in Nectar Devotion that devotees can worship Ganesh for the removal of obstacles in devotional service. In fact, when I was a new devotee, my temple president wrote Prabhupada, how do we worship Ganesh? And he just said, in your country, you don't have facility to do that. And That was all he said. But actually what devotees generally do, although you can worship Ganesh, is instead of worshiping Ganesh for removal of obstacles and devotional service, we worship Nrisingadev. And Bhakti Charu Swami told me that, you know, in the Govinda prayers, there's the prayer that mentions Ganesh, Ganadi Raj, he's called there. It says, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, from whom Ganesh gets his ability to remove obstacles, because it describes that Ganesh is offering dandabhats at the feet of Govinda, and that the Lord's lotus feet are placed upon the two bumps on his head. I can't remember the Sanskrit right now, it's out of my head right now. But you know, elephants, they have these bumps on their heads. And so his because Govinda's feet are there, the Ganesh gets this power. So Bhakti Shri told me, said, that form of the Lord who's doing that is Nrisingadev. So although he's called Govinda, he said that's actually Nrisingadev whose feet are resting on the head of Ganesh. Yeah,
just to this further, because I once heard from Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj, he said that Lord Chaitanya and Simhadev both are not expansions, but directly Krishna himself. It's not. So it was quite surprising.
Oh, he said that about Nrisingadev. I never heard that before. That's interesting.
He said that Simhadev is also directly Krishna himself. That I heard from him.
Really? I don't know where you're going. Okay.
Yes, but according to Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada said...
Anyway, Moksha, no, who doesn't know how to direct. That's right, it is an esoteric point. Well, it's funny how we have such a big cult of Nrisingadev in our movement. Huh? It's a little unusual.
I heard it started from when Prabhupada was... first time sick.
Well, he's the one that started us, you know, and saying the Sringa prayers for the protection of the Hare Krishna movement. Yeah, that's right. But that's gone on from there. One thing to say. Have a picture of the Sringa Dave and say, well, prayer, now I have these big the Sringa deities, you know. They come from South India. Of course, I mean, there's a Nrisinga deity in Mayapur, I have to say. You know, Nrisingapali, there's a very old deity of Nrisingadev there. Nrisingapali is that place where Nrisingadev is supposed to have stopped. There's a Brahmatila, there's a hill there where all the demigods were, and they all came to worship him.
Lord
Chaitanya also worshipped. Huh? Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, but Lord Chaitanya worshipped all. Everybody, when he went around the different temples, Shiva temples. Yeah. Anyway, but he had there's a Nrisinga place in Mayapur, a good place to visit too. Yeah, nice place. Anyway, we're all very fond of Nrisinga Day. Maybe Prabhupada compared us to Prahlad. Maybe that's why. We need his extra help.
But if devotee takes shelter in other form of the Lord for protection, is also okay.
Yeah.
Any form can give protection.
Yeah, but especially we pray to him for removal of obstacles, because you know, when Prahlad karma shayan randaya randaya, that you remove this hard desire for enjoyment in this world. That's the Hiranyakashipu in the heart. Prabhupada remarks in the purport to this one, Swastyastu, Prabhupada says that the devotee should pray to Nrisingadev to come into his heart and remove his material desires. Prabhupada said we should pray Bahir Nisringa Hridaye Nisringa. So when we say Hridaye Nisringa, we're actually praying to Nisringadeva to come into our hearts, and this Hiranyakashipu inside, please, the desire to enjoy in this world. Huh? So it's funny, like the first 10 years or so, 15 years in ISKCON, we were always thinking that Nisringadeva, the demons were out there. But it turned out. One of the bigger ones are the ones that are in our hearts. Huh? Yes.
What will be happened if I think in the time of death on Rishimhadev?
What will happen with the time of death, you think, on Nisringadev?
Yeah.
Huh? Go to Nisringadev.
He has his own planet instead.
Yeah. It says in Vaikuntha Loka. Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to go to Krishna.
Then you'll go to Krishna, whoever you're most attached to.
Can you also go to both? Because you said you go to Chaitanya.
Generally. I have to ask a higher authority about that one. Anyway, you'll be satisfied.
So,
don't worry about it.
I have a question. Why was necessary to Prahlad Maharaj take burn in a demonic family? Because he was always absorbed to the holy name, and he was prima. So what is the story that he was in this family?
I don't know. I've never heard the backstory, as they say in Hollywood, anything about his previous.
So the cursed him?
I don't know. Maybe just sent there by Krishna.
Yeah,
I've heard something, but I forgot.
You can't remember? Story. Yeah, I'm sure there's a story. There always is.
Because it's very rare when there's a demonic family.
But of course, see, what happened was, you know, that the demons in a raid. On Hiranyakashipu, the demigods, when they raided Hiranyakashipu, they managed to take his wife. They got so far as to kidnap his wife, and they brought her back, and they were going to actually kill her, or at least kill the child in the womb. They said that the son of Hiranyakashipu, she's a pregnant woman, the son of Hiranyakashipu is in her womb. When he comes out, he's going to be like his father.
Yeah,
let's kill him before he gets out.
Yeah,
you know? And then Narada Muni said, no, don't do that. That's actually not a demon. That's a great devotee. Give me the mother. I'll take care of her. Then he was talking to the mother. I forgot her name now. Anyway, I can't remember her name. But Prahlad was absorbing all the instructions. Even the mother wasn't so so good a pupil as the baby in the womb. That's what happened.
There also was some arrangement with Narada Muni, I think, with some other issue, became a parrot. And then...
Some other what?
Narada Muni, I think, some other Muni, they became a parrot and went wild.
Parrots?
Uh-huh.
Like the birds?
Yeah. And went wild, and Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities, so always, you know, annoying him, saying,
Is that right? I never heard that.
The time of conception, also, also Prahlad Maharaj.
The pirates.
He also was there, you know, so, you know, like, he was always thinking about
That's so sorry, I had a...
So it was arrangement that he, you know, the
thinking of Krishna at the time of conception. Okay, with that story, we'll end this class. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.